A scripture reading today is found in 1 Samuel chapter 3, reading verses 1 to 10. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening. This is the word of the Lord."
Shall we pray? As we come to your word this morning, Lord, we want to declare that we come from different phases of life, and some of us are in varying degrees of listening to you. We pray, Lord, that whatever the distractions are for us today, that you help us put them aside for the meantime, that is. And you will help us, Lord, focus on you this morning. So we ask, Lord, for your Holy Spirit to pour himself upon us, that we will be touched in the heart and in the mind, and that we will be able to see you clearly through the words of this passage. Speak, Lord, for your servant here. We ask this in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and all the people said, Amen. We are going through a series of messages on prayer at the moment, and the title of this series is Praying with God. God is there. Prayer with God is a two-way street. Two-way street. We talk to God, and God talk to us. Now, I believe that we have heard many sermons on the first part, talking to God. And let's be honest, for most of us, including myself, we seem to have no problems during the first part, talking to God. In fact, when life brings its challenges to us, very often our first reaction is to cry out to God, "Why? Why, God? Are you there? Are you truly there? I need you, Lord. I need you. Help me, God. Help me." However, especially when things are going right for us, when things are quiet and peaceful, we do not make any effort to listen to God. We forget about the second part of prayer. God talks. And this is a problem not only for the boy Samuel, it is also a problem for his mentor Eli. Eli is the main priest at the house of the Lord at Shiloh. The house of the Lord is where the tabernacle is, and the tabernacle is where the ark of God is. If you read the first three chapters of 1 Samuel, you will find that in some ways Samuel is destined to hear from God. Because in 1 Samuel chapter 1, we read of how Hannah, his mother, is having difficulties in conceiving, having a child. And so she goes to the house of the Lord crying before the Lord. And she is very vocal and very animated in her prayer in the house of the Lord. And Eli, the priest at the house of the Lord, thinks she is drunk. She's drunk. She's intoxicated. However, she tells him that she is not intoxicated, but is grieving before the Lord about her barren condition. And this is how Eli answers her. Go in peace. May the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. And it is not long after that that Hannah gives birth to Samuel. And when Samuel is weaned, Hannah presents him to Eli at the house of the Lord. And God further blesses Hannah with 3 sons and 2 daughters. So in Hannah's mind, Samuel is a gift from God. So right after his weaned, he presents him to serve God at the house of God, at the house of the Lord for the rest of his life. However, there is a problem for Israel in those days. Israel has forgotten the second part of prayer, letting God talk to them. So therefore, when God tries to call Samuel, God must do it 3 times before Eli and Samuel realize that God is actually calling to Samuel. So like Israel, Samuel and Eli failed to recognize God's voice. And so let us read these next 2 verses together, because it talks about a problem that is very true to us. We fail to hear God's voice. And let us see the angle from which Samuel comes into this episode. So let us read these 2 verses together. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not been revealed to him. So first, the words of the Lord are rare in Israel in those days. There are not many visions from the Lord. And I wonder if this is a problem for us too. We do not take time to listen to God. Plainly put, we forget God. His words are rare and we do not get many visions from God. Second, Samuel has been ministering before the Lord under Eli in the house of the Lord, as Hannah has presented him to Eli and the house of the Lord. And even in the house of the Lord, he does not know the Lord yet. The word of the Lord has not been revealed to him. So what do we detect from these verses? We can be in the house of the Lord and yet fail to hear God's word and yet fail to know the Lord. So is the word of the Lord rare in our lives? Do we truly know God? And there is another telling verse which Barbara read for us in verse 3. The lamp of God has not gone out, and Samuel was lying in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. So there is hope, because the author of 1 Samuel tells us that the lamp of God has not gone out yet. The light of God is still present in the house of the Lord, albeit very dim. And Samuel is lying in the house of the Lord next to the ark of God. Then God proceeds to call Samuel, but Samuel mistakes the voice of God for the voice of Eli. And it is very evident that although Samuel is lying near the ark of God, he cannot hear the voice of God. Now, what is the ark of God? The ark of God is the symbol of God's presence. So it takes some time for Samuel to hear God's voice. And what do we learn from this event? Symbols of God's presence does not necessarily mean that God is present in our life. So Samuel comes to Eli the third time, thinking that it is Eli who has called him. Finally, Eli realizes it might be God who is calling Samuel. So what does he do? He tells Samuel to open his heart to God. So let us read together these verses that talk about Eli telling Samuel to open his heart to God. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And so finally, God gets to talk to Samuel. We had just moved to Richmond Hill. I took up a pastoral position there. My daughter Esther had just turned 6. Luke was 2. My brother from Malaysia had gifted us with some children's Bible books to read before going to bed. So this was a scenario many times. Luke had gone to bed. Laurie was at work. And so Esther and I would spend some time reading that children's Bible given by my brother before she went to bed. So I remember this particular dance that we used to be engaged with when we came to this story of God calling out to Samuel. So Esther and I would play a game. So I would just go to my room and shout, "Samuel, Samuel." And then Esther would come, hearing my voice, and says, "Samuel, Samuel." And we would do this for 4 times. 4 times. So therefore, I loved hearing Esther come to me and say, "Samuel, Samuel," and laugh. The joy of laughter really brought, if you like, satisfaction to my soul. So I would try to get her to do this many times, calling out to her, "Samuel, Samuel," and she would come to the room and say, "Samuel, Samuel," but the laughter from her was so invigorating. However, within 6 months, she got older and she realized that her dad was playing a game on her. And I miss those times in which I used to read this passage to Esther. Now, it might sound strange, but I feel that even with this game that I played with Esther, I believe that in some mysterious manner, Esther and I were taking time to listen to God. And so today, as I prepare to share with you my thoughts on this passage, my thoughts went back to these episodes of reading this children's story together with Esther. Taking time to listen to God is a discipline. It's a discipline. And we can do it either personally, or we can do it with other people in the Bible study, or we can do it with people, with our children, just reading to them. Or because of my experience with visitation, with a lot of older people, they love it when we go visit them and we read a passage of scripture to them and we pray with them. The key thing is that we are practicing the second part of prayer. God talks to us and we are listening. Samuel's difficulty in hearing God is also a problem for Eli. Eli can only detect that God is calling out to Samuel at the third time when Samuel comes into his room. However, if you read the first 2 chapters of 1 Samuel, you find that Eli comes to 1 Samuel 3 with a baggage of his own. Eli too has difficulty in hearing God. The mentor himself has difficulties in hearing God. If you recall, you remember that he is very quick to judge Hannah as being intoxicated when she is praying in an animated version in the temple. However, the greatest challenge for Eli is his two sons. Now, it is the tradition in those days that you take up the profession of your father. And Eli does not bring up his two sons well to be priests. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, we read of Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, exploiting their priestly positions by taking more meat than they should from the sacrifices and also sleeping with the women at the temple. And so Eli tries to correct them, but he is too late. And then God, through a man of God, tells Eli that he is too late. God will punish Susa. So what does God do? What does the gracious God do? He sends Samuel to Eli to give Eli a second chance to mentor someone in the house of the Lord at Shiloh. However, when Samuel comes to him and asks him if he is calling God three times when Eli did not call him, Eli takes some time to really understand that it is God who is calling out to Samuel and tells him to say to God, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." So what does God tell Samuel after Samuel utters these words in front of God? "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." It is not good news. It is not good news at all. God takes all this trouble to tell Samuel some bad. God tells Samuel that God is going ahead with his plan to punish Hophni and Phinehas, and that Eli's family, the house of Eli, will have no future in the priestly ministry. What a blow to Eli. So how does Eli respond to this good news? Let us read and see what God, how Eli responds to this bad news. Shall we read together? "What was it he said to you?" Eli asked. "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you." So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, "He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes." So not only does Eli accept what God is going to do to his family, he tells Samuel that God is the Lord. Let God do what is good in his eyes. The story of Eli tells us that God is the God of second chances. Eli failed to bring his two sons up well to priestly ministry. And what does God do? God sends Samuel to Eli to redeem his past failure. And now that God has confirmed what he is going to do with the two sons, Eli accepts this. "He is the Lord. Let God do what is good in his own eyes." Because Eli realizes that God continues to speak to him, Eli, even though he failed in his mission of bringing up the two sons to priestly ministry. God continues to speak to Eli even though he messed up his life. The story of Eli is the story of the God of second chance. Our God is a God of prayer. So this is what prayer is. We talk to God, and God talks to us. But like Eli, we mess things up. And for Eli, it was his two sons. And for us, it might be something else that we've done in our lives that we have regretted. And for us, we think that it is quite severe. And sometimes we find it so difficult to talk to God. And the story of Eli in this passage reminds us, and I'm convinced about it, that no matter how we mess things up, God still talks to us. And God sends us the Samuel in our life to remind us that God is still there, talking to us. And so what happened after this episode? Remember, we are at the start of 1 Samuel chapter 3. Eli mentors Samuel to be the prophet of Israel. And this is how 1 Samuel chapter 3 ends. The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up. He let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. So, 1 Samuel chapter 3 marks the start of Samuel's journey with God. Where Samuel did not yet know the Lord, Samuel now knows the Lord. Where Samuel found it difficult to hear the words of the Lord, Samuel now will receive the words from the Lord. However, let's think through Samuel's life until now. Did Samuel's relationship with God actually start in that event where he was sleeping next to the Ark of God? Remember, it starts when his mother, Hannah, is grieving over her barrenness in the house of the Lord. It starts with a lament. It starts with a grief before God. And God blesses her. And God blesses her, and she becomes a mother. And she is so grateful to the Lord that she presents Samuel to Eli and God. So what do we understand about this episode in 1 Samuel chapter 1? God has Samuel in his heart, even while Samuel is in his mother's womb. And then after that, God brings Samuel to the house of the Lord even before he can have this encounter with God. That if God has always been taking the initiative in trying to put his imprint, if you like, on Samuel. So what did I start saying? Prayer is a two-way street. We talk to God, and God talks to us. But I wonder, when we look at Samuel's life, if it's the other way around. God talks to us first before we can talk to God. Because God talks to Samuel even before, or if you could be so brave to say, God through Hannah has spoken to Samuel even before Samuel has this profound encounter with God. And even let's go back to Eli. God could have given up Eli. He's a lost cause. He has failed to bring someone who will replace him into the temple. And what does God do? God, through this Samuel and Eli episode, takes the initiative to remind Eli that he's still there, even though he's messed his life up. God talks to us even before we can talk. All we need to do is to recognize God. The late Dallas Willard is the author of many books on the Christian life. And here is his insight in recognizing God's voice. Domesticated animals and pets recognize the voice of their master and learn to do so quickly. Charlie Frank raised the elephant Nita from birth and trained her as a circus performer. On retirement, he gave her to the San Diego Zoo. After they had not seen each other for 15 years, a television crew filmed their reunion. Frank called Nita from about 100 yards away. She came to him immediately and performed her old routines on command. Her past experience gave her the power to recognize his voice. Humans don't always do as well as animals in voice recognition. But humans can learn to recognize God's voice just as they learn to recognize the color red with its various shades and characteristics and to distinguish it from blue or yellow. A musician learns by experience to distinguish a minor key from a major key simply by hearing a melody. We learn by experience to recognize God's voice. God talks to us even before we can talk to him. All we have to do is to recognize his voice. Let's pray. So Lord, we just thank you that you've blessed us into a relationship of prayer with you. And as we begin this journey of prayer together as a church, we pray, Lord, that you will help us realize that you are there talking to us even before we can talk. And all we have to do is to recognize your voice. So Lord, let us work at it. Let us work at it at hearing your voice. Let us now go through our experiences of life and reflect over what you've done in our lives, both as a church and also individually. And there were many times when we could acknowledge that you talked to us clearly and you were calling us to certain things in our lives. So we pray, Lord, as we start the year, that we will be indeed a people who will work at hearing your voice.